Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 130th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back, everybody. For this episode's tea talk, I am drinking iced tea once again, but this time it's not homemade. It's literally the lemon-flavored fuse tea in the plastic bottle it comes in. I know this is a very unoriginal tea talk, but if it's interesting to you, I added water to dilute it because it was very sweet. So that's my little concoction. But yeah, I've said it before and I will say it again. Iced tea, I think, is my favorite beverage. I can't explain the obsession I have over this sugary water. But I feel like when I make it, I try not to make it too sweet. So when I get a bottle, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so sweet. But I'm secretly happy because it's like, I can allow myself to drink the extra sweet version. But I always end up diluting it. And still, with the water, it feels too sweet. For this episode's life update, I really don't have too much to say. The past week has been pretty standard in comparison to the rest of my holidays. I've just been feeling kind of like tired and unmotivated. And I leave in 2 weeks, so a part of me is already just kind of like, I mean, listen, I had a list of things to do. And now when I look at that list, I just tell myself like, well, I'm leaving soon, so what's the point? Instead of trying to do as much as I still can, you know, I'm entering that all or nothing mindset. So it really sucks to like see myself do that instead of making the most of what's left. So yeah, I feel like I've already started my grieving process. I've already, you know, started packing my suitcase and everything and finalizing my purchases. So it's sad that my holidays have come to an end, especially since as soon as I get back, I have one day to like adjust and then school starts. So not only is summer and my freedom over, but so is my time here at home in Colombia with my friends and family. So yeah, that's a lot to deal with, and I'm already just kind of starting to like hit that slump. I've been trying to do fun things with my friends. For instance, yesterday I went into the town center with my good friend Manu, and we went to museums and galleries. We drew, we walked around, and it was just an experience in a very vibrant, busy, hectic part of the city. So that was fun to just like switch things up for me a bit. Today I ran a bunch of errands with my mom. In the weekend I went partying and it was very fun. I had a super good time. I tried out this one restaurant. I got back from my grandparents. I got film developed. It's just been like random activities. So yeah, nothing major for me to report here. Jose asks, do you think you will go back to France as a different Thea this time? What will be different? I think this is a really good question. I got very excited reading it because it's like, wow, this really is kind of like not a second opportunity for me to do things, because it's not like I'm doing them over, but it's just an opportunity to like go back to things with a whole new set of knowledge at my advantage. The first thing that comes to mind is that last year I felt confident, like when I imagined myself before moving, when I imagined what it would be like when I was there, you know, like socially and everything, I thought I would be super confident and that I would really just like continue with the personality I have in Colombia. Because if you ask my friends here, they would probably say that I'm quite social and like outgoing. But if you were to ask my friends in France, they would probably say that I'm shy. So that's just to say that I kind of expected to continue with that version of myself. But then when I got there, I was really intimidated and like overwhelmed. So I thought I would go into it feeling and being super confident. But then I quickly realized that I wasn't, like, I don't know, I wasn't prepared to unravel in that sort of like scenario. I didn't really know what was coming. And I know that kind of contradicts the purpose of being confident. Because if you truly are confident, then it doesn't matter what kind of scenario you're put in, because you're just so confident that doesn't matter and nothing can faze you. But I guess my confidence wasn't really developed that far, and this kind of like was a setback and didn't allow me to truly be very confident. So now, like over these past few months of holiday, I've kind of been thinking about myself and the role I play and everything, like the role I play in the world. And I truly feel that I can go back to France and be confident and kind of like be the way I am here, because it feels more familiar. And I don't know, I've just like been thinking, and I don't want my French to get in the way. I want to be able to speak naturally, even if I make mistakes. But I don't know, I just kind of had a bit of perspective, and I think that maybe people don't pay so much attention to every little detail of how things come out of my mouth and how I pronounce things. And I think, you know, as long as I get my message across, that's okay. And I've kind of learned to see maybe my accent as a little bit charming, you know, something that could be quirky and admired by other people. So that can also help me boost my confidence. And yeah, now that I feel like I kind of know what I'm walking into, what the social scene is like, I think I'm just much more comfortable in being myself. And yeah, I just think that's a huge part of confidence, just like knowing your surroundings and being comfortable in them. Once again, I know that kind of like defeats the purpose of being confident, but it is much easier to be confident and outgoing when you're comfortable in your surroundings. So I feel like having experienced that ambiance for a year almost, and then going away and now coming back, I feel like I have what it takes to excel. So I feel like the confidence is one big thing. I'm really just relieved to know that I have the house thing figured out, you know how to do laundry, to have a few recipes up my sleeve, and to also be excited about cooking and like being creative and trying out new things. Like I'm thinking about maybe getting an air fryer or a little oven to be able to do more recipes and explore like food more. So just the fact that I won't have to be like trying out my first dish and eating that for a week straight because it's the only thing I know how to cook, just that really makes me feel excited to kind of have the house care routine down, you know, the cleaning and everything, and just having a routine and a groove that I know works. I just feel like going into the school year with that already under control is very helpful. And, you know, like the first few months of the year won't be as like, I don't want to say like rough, but like patchy and like of so much adjustment as they were last year. Like I can get straight into it, you know. I also feel just like more comfortable to have fun and do different things. Don't get me wrong, I've always pursued like a very joie de vivre lifestyle. I have that tattooed, and I feel like I definitely had it under control before moving, but that was because, you know, I was like, I didn't have so many responsibilities, you know, living with my mom and just having to worry about like being a student. It's easier to have a carefree lifestyle. But then I got to France, and then all of these responsibilities and living on my own, so I kind of lost that spark a bit. And now that I'm going back to it, once again, I just feel like I have kind of things figured out a little bit more. So now that all of that is under control, I can allow myself to explore the other things in life and, you know, just feel okay having fun and doing different things in my day-to-day lifetime and making plans for myself if nobody else is doing them with me. And if there's no reason for me to go out of the house, for me to make up a reason to go out of the house and, you know, see the city or do things, or make my time at home more intentional and enjoyable, I just feel like I can kind of like expand a little bit more in that sense, precisely because I've got the basics down, as I just mentioned. And I'm really just excited to achieve that work-life balance that I had before, now factoring in for like all the house things and just like living alone responsibilities, because I feel like I kind of lost sight of that this past year. I don't know, I felt like I was working a lot, but at the same time, like I wasn't working enough. And then I felt like my break time wasn't that intentional, and my days just weren't that enjoyable. So now I'm thinking of like different extracurricular activities that I can do in my day-to-day life to make things more interesting, and just activities that I can do during the week to make my weekdays look more fun, and how I can truly make my weekends restful and more enjoyable. And yeah, just try to increase my quality of life overall, just really thinking about all of that, because there were times where I kind of like let that slip and it reflected on like my emotional well-being. So now I feel like with all of these ideas in mind, I can build a happier life for myself. So I just feel like in comparison to a year ago, I'm way ahead, and I just have like more clarity. You know, like a year ago, I didn't, like these weren't even concerns of mine. I didn't know they would become to be, you know, but now I do, and I'm in a more like preventive mindset. So I just feel like I can be more chill about certain things and just like take it easy. I remember last year being like so stressed all the time, you know, thinking that I was gonna get mail that would be like, you need to move out, or like, you're going to jail because you didn't do this paperwork. And I'm like more chill about that, and I feel like just more at ease. So that's good. And really, just in retrospect, I feel like when I came here to Colombia for the summer, jumping back into what my life was a year ago when before I left to France, basically, because that's what I've been doing, you know, seeing my friends, doing the things that I did when I had finished my semester of college that I did here, just like living that chill life. So jumping back into that lifestyle after having lived on my own already and now like going back to live on my own, I don't know, I feel like I, like going back to my adult life after experiencing my quote-unquote easy life after having experienced adult life, if this makes sense. I don't know, I feel like it's a weird sandwich, but you know, it kind of like enhances these experiences, and it's weird in a good way. So yeah, I'm just grateful and happy for the things that I've lived. Grace asked me, where do you see yourself in 10 years and what are your goals for your 20s? I will be responding these two as one question because I'm 19. So in 20 years, I'll be 29 and that will have been my 20s. So this is the type of question that scares you, especially since everybody hypes up your 20s. They don't necessarily hype it up, but they say that they're very important and like decisive. And I feel like at least on TikTok, I see a lot of content and I feel like there are a lot of books out there that are like, in your 20s, you need to be like super focused on your work and your career. And I get that and I know that's so important, but I just don't feel ready to like settle down in that grind, because I feel like, you know, your 20s are also for you to have fun, for you to make mistakes. And today I saw a video of an 80-year-old lady and she was saying that how she wished that in her, like, advice she had for people in their 20s was to, you know, like explore, do things, travel, have fun. How there were so many things that she did in her 20s that she couldn't do in her 80s. For instance, she went to Rio for the carnaval, and you know, she can't do that now, like to dance on the floats and everything. I mean, she could, but you know, she said she wouldn't, and that's understandable. So like, there are things that are for your 20s and your young age, especially, you know, since you're young, you're healthy, and you're not tied down maybe to a job or a partner, you know, things like that. I feel like the exploration is very valuable, and I'm just like, when I think about my 20s, that's the kind of experience right now that I'm drawn to. And I don't know, like, I turned 20 in like 5 months, and I feel like for your 20s you need a bunch of preparation, you know, like there's all these books you should read, all these podcasts you should listen to, and I just haven't done any of that. Like, I'm just going with the flow, trying to make it through each day. So I feel like I should probably try to prepare in these upcoming 5 months, honestly, just to have like the mental peace and satisfaction and feel more put together for when that period of my life arrives. So yeah, all this to say, I'm terrified. I am not ready to stop being a teenager. But to answer your question, I hope to be finishing my undergraduate degree in physics at the University of Bordeaux. I just did my first year. I have 2 years left, so I hope things run smoothly and that I can graduate. Hopefully with good grades, because then I want to pursue a master's. I'm not entirely sure, like I don't want to commit to a specific kind of master's yet, but if I were to apply tomorrow, I know that I would try to apply to some in like master's in space studies is what they're usually called, so like the spatial sector, to get to know a little bit of space law and just like how the economics of space are and how the business model is, but also like more traditional like physics master's programs, you know, there's a bunch of nuclear ones, but I think I would rather go for the more astronomical ones, so the ones that are starting to be like astrophysics, plasma, you know, planets, planetary formation is going kind of down a different road, but yeah, you know, like those traditional ones. So yeah, in 10 years, I will normally have time to finish a master's as well, given that they usually last from like a year and a half to 2 years, so yeah. Right now I say that I would like to do a PhD, but not immediately after my master's and not necessarily in something super scientific. So let's say I do like a scientific master's, maybe the PhD will be the moment where I diverge into something a little bit more social. And if I do go for a like social, let's call it like that, master's, then obviously my PhD will also be focused on that. But I do want to get like work experience before I do my PhD. I'm saying all of this now, but this could change. But yeah, even if I do like have work experience, maybe I won't do the PhD in my 20s. Like, I know that people usually do that way later down in their life, so I'll probably leave that for later as well, or change my mind. We'll see. I want to live in different places. I will be doing my third year of my undergraduate degree abroad. I still don't know where, so that's like one guaranteed living abroad experience. And then for my master's, there are opportunities in France, both for the scientific one and the non-scientific one, we'll call it like that, in France. But I know that for, you know, the master's of spatial sciences or spatial studies, sorry, I will need to apply abroad because not very many universities do that. So if I do want to apply specifically to that program, then I'll have to apply a little bit all over the place, which I don't have a problem with. So yeah, I want to continue moving in my 20s and hopefully into my 30s and 40s and for the rest of my life, unless I decide at some point that I want to settle down. But right now, I think that I would like for my kids to grow up traveling the way I did. In the next 10 years, I hope to get a job in the space sector. You know, right now I have a job, like a part-time, it's not even part-time, it's very low hours job, but in babysitting, you know, I want to get a job in the space sector and do like internships regarding physics and a bunch of things like that. So, you know, obviously pursue like my professional career besides like all the academics I've talked about. Romantically, who knows? 20s seem like a pretty young age to settle down romantically and like get married and all of that. I do know I want to get married, but I would not rush it into my 20s. Like, if, you know, I haven't met anyone by 29, I would not feel like I'm behind, you know? I love to see that, like, I feel now couples are like getting married at a later age, and that like for me is like so relieving. Because I feel like, oh, this is also something I wanted to say before answering the question, but like as life expectancy increases, you know, what were your 20s for like older generations can now be like your 30s, if that makes sense, because you have more time. So I feel like people are recognizing that maybe like the major career moves can be made in your 30s, and that's okay. So yeah, I feel like the 20s are definitely the years to like date around, you know, get to know people, explore things, all of that. So I hope to get to do that in a very fun and safe way, you know, experience a lot of heartbreak because that forms your character and it's important, but, you know, also love, you know, like have all of those beautiful experiences. But yeah, I hope I really do get to live in that sense and not be like chasing the one immediately and just like letting myself like live things and like have stories to tell and everything and just like not rush myself to settle down. That's so easy to say, but yeah. I hope I can conserve the friendships that I have right now and make new incredible friendships all over the world and stay in touch with people and feel like, yeah, I have people everywhere that I can count on and continue building the incredible friendships that I have now, because I feel like friendships are a really important part of my life. So to not let that kind of be lost of sight, because after you graduate college, it's harder to make friends. I also want to party a lot in my 20s. Hell yeah. I want to travel a lot, get to see places, go outside of my comfort zone, go to places that maybe right now I'd be like, ugh, I don't want to go there, but like to see them, you know? And I also hope to have a good relationship with myself, continue taking care of myself physically and mentally, and just like myself and like spending time with myself as I do right now. So yeah, I feel like I covered every major aspect people usually ask about when they ask about your 10-year plan. Chris asks, how are you feeling about France right now? What are the main differences with Colombia? So first, I must say that I'm feeling pretty good about going back. When I left before the summer, I was afraid that when the time came to go back, I would be dreading it and, you know, not wanting to leave my home, my people and everything, which is true. I obviously don't want to leave my home and my people, but I don't think it's going to be as terrible as I had imagined, because I do feel like there's things for me there. And even though I'm so happy to be here, it kind of feels like everybody has their life here and mine isn't quite here, you know? Like, for instance, my friends are in school and they're working on their classes and college and everything. And it's like, well, that part of my life is over there, you know? So I can't have like the same ambition and drive that they have here. Because all that part of my life I started to build in France. So yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't feel like an outsider. I feel very welcome. Don't get me wrong. But I do recognize that I feel like some parts of my life are elsewhere, and that's okay. And I feel like that's a good thing because it's proof that I have been able to set up a life for myself on my own somewhere else. So there definitely is that. And I just, yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of like my routine. And I guess that's in part like college, because if I'm honest with you, these past few days I felt a little bit aimless and like not really knowing what I'm doing, very unmotivated, like with a bunch of things I want to do, but not quite being able to get myself to do anything. So it's been very frustrating. I'm just excited to get like structure back into my life. So for classes to start up again, and that could be anywhere in the world, but in this case, it represents France for me. So I'm excited for that. And also just like seeing my friends and the social scene there. But once again, I can have a social scene anywhere. I have one here. But yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to seeing my friends in France again, picking up like friendships that may have been paused over the summer, and like meeting people or getting to know people that I had barely met before leaving, just kind of like picking all of that back up and connecting with people in France that I met here but that live there. So yeah, I'm excited for all of that and like my independence and my cooking. But of course, I'll miss so much, you know, my family and my friends and so many things about the culture here. But yeah, I guess this is just really to highlight that there are good things everywhere. But I must say that I don't know, like, even though I'm so excited to go back to France, don't get me wrong, I'm not like, super excited, but I'm just kind of like trying to look at the good things. But even considering the good things, I don't know if I want to live there in like forever, or at least in Bordeaux. But I feel like Bordeaux is a place that I really like. So if it's not there, I don't really know where it would be. But yeah, I just don't entirely know if I want to live there forever for some of the reasons that I will say next. But I do know that for this particular year of my life and maybe my graduate studies, it is a good place. But I know who I am, what I want, and the things I feel I need to like be happy, and kind of like requirements of a city, which is an experience I'm very grateful for, because if I hadn't moved, then I wouldn't know the things that are non-negotiables for me and the things that I'm a bit more flexible with when it comes to choosing a city. Now onto the differences. I feel like the main difference is something that I've discussed with both of my parents. My dad's French, my mom's Colombian, but they've both experienced both cultures. And it's funny because my mom always brings this up with the French tourists she guides, and they all agree with this. And I just feel like French people are generally kind of more miserable. They live in a country that gives them so many like privileges and rights that most countries couldn't dream of. And I guess, you know, they may be kind of used to it, but I feel like they complain a lot over things that are luxuries in other places. And since they haven't been exposed to that, you know, they don't realize how lucky they are. And I mean this like partially in a political scale, because France is a country that is known for protesting a lot. And I totally think that protesting is important and should be, you know, like given space for and encouraged respectfully and, you know, like protected and everything. But I feel like French people also complain, you know, in their day-to-day life, you know, like even about the little things, and it's never good enough. And obviously I can't generalize. And I think that maybe the upcoming generations are changing this a bit. But yeah, I feel like French people are maybe a little bit grumpy, and you know, like when you run into them like on the street, you know, they're not very warm is the experience I get, especially, you know, like from my experience where, you know, I am French and I do look European, so I'm treated, you know, as one of them, and even I feel like that treatment is a little bit hostile. So I think it may be even worse for people who look a little bit different. So even though like the typical phrase joie de vivre is in French, I don't feel like they are necessarily the ones to exemplify it. And that was a huge shock to me, because I really did think they would be. And like the French people with all of the incredible things that their country and that their continent has, would just be like so happy and so grateful. But I feel like, you know, that's maybe not the case. And once again, you can't generalize. And I know that some of the things are made are, some of the things I said are like stereotypical or, you know, cannot be like correctly based. But this is just kind of like the conclusions that I've extracted over like a year of living there and having grown up with like French people in my life, and you're just like being exposed to it in comparison to a completely different culture. Those are some things that really struck me, and I feel like I have maybe the awareness and the observation skills to be able to say these things and trust myself and trust the things that I've observed. So there's that. But I do feel like in the youth, it is kind of different, and that makes me really happy. And just to compare, I feel like in Colombia, people, even if they have much less like economic resources or privileges or support from the government as French people do, I feel like they are exponentially happier. They have a better attitude. They're just more optimistic. They're much kinder. They're much friendlier. They're much warmer. They're overall, I guess, more pleasant to be around, especially strangers. So that's kind of like the comparison that I wanted to make. Something that I felt, okay, so basically before I moved to France, I don't know why I was under the impression that people here in Colombia don't like go out and do things like social outings during the week. And I was like, yes, in France, this is going to be a thing. And it was. But then I came back here for the holidays and I realized that a lot of people do go out during the week. Like restaurants are packed. I have been asked to do things during the week. And I was like, oh, like this is a universal thing. I thought it was just Europe, but I'm seeing a lot of it here too. So I was kind of like one misperception I had, and I'm glad to find that it was false, because I love the idea of going out and doing things during the week, and I'm very happy that this is something that can happen all over the world. Another thing I want to highlight about here, Latin America, is just the overall chaos and friendliness. If you ever come here, you need to go to just like the town center and the place that's called El Hueco, which is where there's a bunch of like commerce and very, very low prices. It is such a fun, chaotic experience, because here it's so crowded, but everybody knows each other. And there's such a good vibe on the streets. You know, everybody's talking to each other. You know, these people that come here and work every day kind of like know everybody around them. And so they started up a conversation with everybody. They make jokes with everybody. You know, all of their stores are packed and they're so eager to help you, you know, with their purchases. And I just feel like these are some of the hardest workers I have seen that, you know their businesses so well, know their customers so well, know their products so well. And they're so eager to like help you, you know, with your purchases. And, you know, they're all like blasting their reggaeton. And so you're just walking across the street and it feels like you're in a club, because they're playing all of these bangers and you just sing along to all of them. And so, yeah, it's just that chaos and that friendliness that feels so welcoming. And I know that it is a more dangerous place, but I just feel like welcome there, you know? So that's something that you would definitely not see in France. People are not like more standoffish, but I feel like here they are definitely warmer and easier to talk to and just more approachable, because they'll probably approach you first, if that makes sense. And again, with like the music blasting and that chaos, is just something that you definitely don't see in France. I also feel that here people are more like free-minded. You know, in France or in Europe, I think in general, to solve a problem, you have to make sure that it's all orderly, that it all complies with like the paperwork, the rules, the norms. And here things aren't that strict, so I feel like people maybe prioritize solving the actual problem, however it may be, whereas in Europe they're maybe like, oh no, we can't do this because it doesn't follow this rule, it doesn't do this, and so sometimes they overcomplicate themselves. But I feel like here people are maybe like more creative and proactive in that sense. I think that both places have like incredible nature, but Colombia is the second most biodiverse country in the world, so it obviously has so much fauna and flora to show for and such beautiful regions to explore. So that's something I really want to highlight about here. So yeah, that pretty much sums up my comparisons about these two countries off the top of my head. There's so much more I could say, because I literally love thinking about this, and the entire past year of my life has been dedicated to like comparing these two countries, because I feel so connected to both of them. I apologize if something that I said may have come off as ignorant. there definitely isn't enough time for me to elaborate and go in depth and completely explain each and every one of my ideas in this episode. But if you feel like something was off, feel free to reach out and we can talk about it more. But yeah, I feel like I tried very carefully to like word my ideas and really say things that I felt I kind of like had the authority to say after, you know, careful observation. I love both countries. I'm proud to be from both countries. I identify with both of them. So yeah, no hate to either one of them. I just think they're different and that's okay. Sara asks what my favorite place in the world is, and the answer is very clear. It is Medellin, Colombia. Listen, I cannot explain the hold this city has on me. It just feels so special, and I've really appreciated it for a while now. Like, when I lived here and I grew up a bit and I like started enjoying the city more, I felt really grateful. And then before I left, I knew I was gonna miss it so much, and now that I'm back visiting, I still see it with those same like loving eyes. I don't want to say this place is underrated because there is a lot of tourism here and I feel like it's growing more popular. People are hearing more about it and I feel like that's greatly due to like the music. It's also got a reputation in other aspects that don't do it justice, as simple as that, or parts of our history which are glorified and romanticized and that ignorant people really promote. And that still is a source of money, so desperate people do feed into that narrative and just kind of like sacrifice their principles, which is something really sad. But yeah, in terms of my favorite place to be in, the place I feel most at home at, happiest, and where I just really love the vibes, I mean, I truly feel like it is something in the air. You can just like feel the innovation, the happiness, the, like easygoing energy in the air. I truly feel it. The people are so incredibly nice and kind. There's a lot of street art and graffiti all over the place. There's always music playing. And it's also just like little things about the culture, you know, the mannerisms we have, the words we use. I just feel like little things like that, like inside jokes that the entire city has, the fact that, you know, there's so much, I guess, like informal commerce, you know, people selling things on the street. I have my favorite papitas criollas that they sell like that. I love buying guandolo on the street. I love buying like bubbles on the street. I feel like it's a city full of very hardworking people. And I don't know, it just feels like every corner I turn, there's something to inspire me. Also, it's a city of so much nature. There are trees everywhere. There are gorgeous flowers. It's springtime all year round. The weather is literally perfect. There are mountains, there are rivers not too far. I just feel like it's such an incredible place. I'm so happy to be from here and to be here right now. So yeah, for sure, Medellin is my favorite place in the world. Sara is asking me to recommend music, so I'll share my two obsessions of the moment. The first one is Paint the Town Red by Doja Cat. I know that she is so controversial. I just know that her TikToks are hilarious. I love her music, but I lost so much respect for her when she said that her first albums were cash grabs and that people fell for mediocre pop music. And it was just like, bro, these are literally the fans, the people that brought to you everything you have today. If you want to give yourself the luxury of going to a retreated island with the people you love, it's thanks to the people that have supported the quote-unquote mediocre music that you have made voluntarily. And it's funny because I feel like the tracks she released after that aren't too different to what she was doing before, so side eye honestly. But I just feel like the tune of this song is so catchy. I honestly know just like two lines, but I find myself singing them all throughout the song. Like whenever she mentions them, I'm there. So yeah, it's just a very good song. I really like it. And the other one is, of course, Muñequita by Kali Uchis. I love the fact that I feel like there are a million mini songs inside this song. And there are so many iconic parts, like the chiki chiki chaka chaka Kali Uchis part is so iconic. And then also the one that says, sana sana colita de rana. I just feel like it's so fun to sing along to. And also the part that's like, cuerpazo, oof, carajo, oof, like it's just good parts wherever wherever you turn. It's so catchy. It makes me feel like a girl boss. It really gets me in the hype mood. And yeah, I have definitely been listening to it on a loop. These two songs, I feel like, are just building my character and making me feel good about myself. Very trendy at the moment. So yeah, I would recommend those. Basic, I know, but incredibly catchy. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheSTPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with the guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a beautiful week and a wonderful existence.